Jerry Bader Show, 9:36. By the way, don't normally drive you to another site, but I do have a piece up at Right Wisconsin today on Walmart in Wisconsin, facing challenges here in Green Bay and Oconomowoc, which you are free to click on. Take a look at it if you get a chance. The reason I bring it up is because Brian Niemer, who I had on the show to talk about Enough Already, the anti-gaming group, sent me an email saying, I don't have all the background on the Oconomowoc Walmart, and it's not the same as the Green Bay one. Brian does make some interesting points, and I'll admit, I'm not an authority on Pabst Farms and that whole planned community down there. But here's, to me, the most compelling similarity. Both Oconomowoc and Green Bay want to say no to a Walmart before a formal proposal is unveiled. That and the public sentiment is pretty much anti-Walmart, not anti-good fit. Or bad fit, or whatever, however you would say that. Anyway, you can check it out at rightwisconsin.com. Just before the news, Congressman Reed Ribble made what I thought was an interesting point. He pointed out that the president was described as weak in his handling of Syria by just about everybody. And remember, even his own side criticized him for just a muddled, by accident, foreign policy. At the last minute, he decides to ask Congress to go into Syria. Then, John Kerry says, well, you know, I mean, we could do this. And Kerry blurts out this diplomatic option, which was seen as a gaffe at the time, and now it's the policy of the United States. That's what's going on. It's insane. And even his own side saw him as being extremely weak. Now, Reed didn't say this in so many words, but I will. What Reed Ribble, Congressman Reed Ribble, seemed to be saying is that President Obama felt he's had to prove his manhood. Now, that's not what Reed said. And I'm taking that, he almost said that. And I'm taking that one step further right now, and I'm going to say I think that's what's going on. That he realized he was perceived by many, even on his own side, as weak. Look what happened. Look, as Reed pointed out, we just had raids to get members of African Al-Qaeda. Where he wouldn't go into Syria alone, all of a sudden we learn, oh, okay. We're not using drones anymore. We're actually capturing these SOBs. Now, that theory will be tested when it's time to interrogate this guy. Do we leave him where he is and interrogate him? That sort of thing. But yeah, that was, okay, he seems terrified to go into Syria alone, but he has no problem sending the SEALs out. Very, very interesting. It would explain why there is no way in hell he's going to bend on this. But here's what's interesting. He does bend. He appears weak on the world stage, but he'll stand up to Congress. He'll stand up to his own government, which is essentially the American people. It's kind of like the kid that gets bullied and then picks on the smaller kid, turns around and bullies another kid, that he feels he has to prove his manhood. It's not so much an issue of manning up, but rather that feels he has to prove he can't be pushed around. But at whose cost and at what peril? As for the prioritizing that will pay the interest on our debt and will pay Social Security and Medicare, that those are the three most important things in America right now. Here's what I would say. If Republicans stand their ground, we will hit the debt ceiling. Because he is convinced, and as Gerald Seib wrote in the Wall Street Journal today, that if he's going to have any semblance of a second term, he's got to stop Republicans from using these triggers for these crises. That's what he sees. And I'm sure his party is lockstep with him on that. I don't think he's going to bend. I don't think he's going to negotiate. But I hadn't considered the element that he feels his manhood has been challenged. Jason, do you think that's kind of an outlandish thing, or do you think maybe that's what's going on? I think it's entirely possible. Look, we're both men. Have we ever done stupid things because we thought our manhood was challenged? Don't even try to answer no to that. Don't even try. Would he be that petty? Come on. Of course he would. Perhaps even he realized, or because this is really the way Washington works, polling data suggests that he's being perceived as weak, and not just by conservatives, that he feels that he cannot bend. And then you put in the factor that maybe people in his inner circle are saying, you looked weak. You looked non-presidential. You made America look weak. I could see that. Jason, can I read that?
Yeah.
Jason said he scored 55 points in a game because a guy on the other team called him a name. A homophobic name. For having long hair. So I said, yes, I'm that way. Who's not? I mean, really. If you think you've got leverage on someone on that way. Now, manhood, or more accurately, his dictatorial nature. That's a listener. That's always been part of it. No. See, that's what I'm talking about. I think this goes beyond the fact that he likes to run everything and that he's a control freak and dictatorial. Goes beyond that. I want to address something else about the current crisis, and this goes back to Obamacare. And isn't it funny how quickly we have forgotten about Obamacare? John Boehner did pull that off. This isn't about Obamacare anymore. This is now about the budget and the debt crisis and the debt ceiling. You could call it the debt crisis. That's what it's about. But let's go back to Obamacare for just a moment, okay? Remember a while back, if you listen to the 10 o'clock segment when I debate liberal talk show host Mike McFeely, he said the congressional exemption is a myth. It's not real for Obamacare. Mike is not alone in this. There is a concerted effort to paint the congressional exemption as a myth. First, the LA Times. Numerous readers have written the Times to criticize President Obama and congressional Democrats for championing an unpopular health care reform law, while the writers say exempting themselves from it. And then he gives an example. Regular readers of the Times opinion pages will know that among the few letters published over the last week that have blamed the Democrats for the government shutdown, a preponderance faulted House Republicans. None made the argument about Congress exempting itself from Obamacare. Why didn't you print letters that point out Congress is exempting itself from Obamacare? Why? Simply put, this objection to the president's health care law is based on a falsehood. And letters that have an untrue basis, for example, ones that say there's no signs human have caused climate change, don't get printed. Oh, so they've accepted as fact that humans have caused climate change, and if you write a letter to the LA Times, they're not going to publish that. Well, that in and of itself is interesting, but they're not going to print any letters where people say Congress gave themselves an exemption because it's false. Let's take this another step. Rick Newman, writing at Yahoo, that congressional exemption from Obamacare? Another Obamacare myth. Why are Congress and their families exempt from the new plan? A questioner named Paul asked in a recent Yahoo Finance Q&A on the Affordable Care Act. If the coverage is inferior, why don't they stand behind it? Of all the misconceptions surrounding the new health reform law known as Obamacare, and there are many, one of the newest and most infuriating is the idea that Congress made itself exempt from a law that puts onerous new burdens on many other Americans. That contention is totally false. In fact, members of Congress, along with their personal staffers, are required to participate in Obamacare, which is a more stringent requirement than employees of many big companies face. The confusion is understandable. Earlier this year, Congress did, in fact, consider passing legislation that would amount to an exemption, though that never happened. Then in August, Senator Ted Cruz said in his speech that President Obama just granted all of Congress an exception. And he did it because Harry Reid and the Senate Democrats who passed this thing came begging and said, please, please, please let us out of Obamacare. Nobody actually saw Harry Reid begging, but the claim gained traction nonetheless. And a chain email containing bogus information about Congress being exempt from Obamacare started to circulate. Okay, Reid and Democrats did beg. That did happen. So then he goes on. Here's what really happened. When the Affordable Care Act became law in 2010, it included a passage that said the only health plans that the federal government may make available to members of Congress and congressional staff are created under this act, or an amendment made by this act, or two offered through an exchange established under this act. In plain English, this means that at the end of the year, members of Congress and their personal staffs will no longer be eligible for the federal health care plan, and they'll have to purchase insurance through an exchange instead. That requirement was initially proposed by Senator Charles Grassley, who opposed the law as kind of a dare back in 2009, when legislators were still debating what would go in the bill. It caught on as a populist measure and made it into the final law. Up until now, members of Congress, like all federal employees, have been able to select insurance from a government plan that's similar to a lot of big company plans, with one exception. It offers a lot more choices. In fact, the government plan, which has been in place for years, is remarkably similar to the exchanges established by the ACA. The government, on average, pays about 75% of the premiums for members of Congress and other federal workers, while workers pay the other 25%. And he claims that's about the same as the private sector. I'm not so sure about that. But anyway, with members of Congress and their staffs being forced to buy insurance on the exchanges beginning in 2014, the real question regarding Congress is how the government can continue to offer some sort of health care benefit for those federal employees the way most big employers do, since it can no longer cover a portion of the premium. Few, if any, congressional staffers would qualify for the low-income subsidies. That means their net insurance costs would rise considerably if they were forced to buy from an exchange with no support at all from their employer. The basic idea is to make congressional employees whole by giving them a new benefit that's more or less to equal to what they'll be losing when they can no longer participate in the government's health care offerings. How the hell is that not an exemption? That's an exemption. They do not have to face the consequences of Obamacare. That is an exemption. Now, it is not all that clearly known whether House members would get this or it would just be staffers. But clearly, it's an exemption for their staff. You can slice, squint, do whatever you want. There is a flaw in Obamacare that forces them to give up what they have, and they can no longer be subsidized by their employer. They have to go on the exchanges. In their mind, it's a flaw because they lose what they have. They don't want to lose what they have, but still have to go on the exchanges. That's an exemption. Now, are they totally exempt from the law and can continue going on with their lives? No. That was tried and it failed. But this is an exemption. The Office of Personnel Management, which is the government's HR department, finally decided this summer that the government will give congressional employees a tax-free subsidy, roughly equivalent to the value of the benefit they've been getting until now. That will help offset the unsubsidized cost of insurance bought through an exchange. This rule led the Conservative Heritage Foundation to declare that the OPM exceeded its authority by offering subsidies for a health plan it doesn't administer, resulting in a special Obamacare deal to Congress. Cruz apparently picked up on that, and another Obamacare myth was born. I reject the notion this is a myth. It is not a myth. Is it entirely accurate to say that members of Congress and their staff are exempt from Obamacare. That is not accurate. It isn't. Because they didn't have the stones to do that. They thought about doing it legislatively. They thought about fixing this for their staff legislatively, but they did not want to open Obamacare up to a wider congressional debate. Plus, they've known for years this was coming. Senator Ron Johnson prepared for it with his staff. Why didn't everybody else? This is something about Obamacare they don't like, and they want to be exempt from it for their staff. It certainly isn't totally false. It's mostly true. Is it a complete exemption the way some people think it is? No, it isn't. It's 9:51.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.